You know the light. It is the hallway lamp, the kitchen bulb, the small glow in the corner of a room that should be dark by now but is not. Everyone says they are going to switch it off. Some do, some never quite do. The reason is often treated as trivial, a leftover from childhood, a waste of electricity, a habit that should have disappeared by now. But the light is usually doing more work than that. Leaving one light on at night is rarely about brightness. It is about transition. It is the tiny arrangement that tells the mind the day is over without asking the body to surrender all at once. The dark, for a lot of people, is not just the absence of light, it is the point at which the house stops performing and starts feeling more honest. That honesty is not always welcome. A small lamp softens the edge of it. That is the part people miss. The light does not make the night less dark. It makes the dark more negotiable. There is a difference. A lit room is not safer in any absolute sense. It just gives the nervous system a reference point. You can see the chair. You can see the doorway. You can see where the wall ends. The mind stops inventing quite so much. In that sense, the light is not an ornament. It is a boundary marker. It marks the place where vigilance can slow down. That is why the ritual survives even among people who would never call themselves superstitious. They are not protecting themselves from monsters. They are protecting themselves from the feeling that the house has become too large, too quiet, too undefined after the day has folded shut. The interesting thing is how ordinary this is. It happens in apartments, family homes, hotel rooms, borrowed rooms, rooms after a move, rooms after a loss. The details change, but the logic stays familiar. A small light gives the room a face. Without it, the night can feel less like rest and more like exposure. Some people keep the hallway light on for children. Some keep it on because they wake in the dark and want a path. Some keep it on because they live alone and do not want the silence to feel total. Some keep it on because they are tired of pretending their body is ready for full darkness when it plainly is not. That last reason matters more than it gets credit for. We talk a lot about the mind making choices, but habits like this often belong to the body first. The body is rarely asking, "What is the most efficient thing to do?" It is asking, "What lets me settle without bracing?" That is a more serious question. It is tempting to frame the light as weakness, as if a mature person should be able to switch it off and be done with it. But that is too simple. Sometimes the light is not immaturity, sometimes it is calibration. It is the small amount of order required for the system to relax. The ritual does not mean you are afraid of the dark. It may mean you are trying to keep your relationship to darkness from becoming hostile. That is a useful distinction. Fear says, "Do not go there." Calibration says, "Go there, but not all at once." The people who are most attached to the light are not always the most anxious. Sometimes they are the most attentive. They know the room changes after midnight. They know the house sounds different at 2 a.m. They know that waking up in total darkness can create a tiny jolt, a momentary confusion that is not dramatic but is enough to pull the body back on duty. A small lamp prevents the room from becoming an ambush. Of course, there is a line between support and dependency. If the light is the only reason you can sleep, the ritual may have become a substitute for a deeper sense of safety. If you need every corner illuminated, the question is no longer just about lighting, it is about what the dark has come to represent. Loneliness, unfinished work, grief, the memory of a bad night, the fact that some part of life still feels on call even after the door is locked. That is where the subject gets sharper. Because the light can also be about guilt. People leave it on because they know they should not. They do it and then explain it away with practicality. But guilt is often only the visible layer. Underneath, there may be an unspoken bargain. I will let the night happen, but I need one witness that the house is still here. One small thing to prove I have not disappeared into the dark with it. That is not irrational, it is human. Try asking a better question than why am I being like this? Ask instead, what is this light doing for me that darkness is not doing yet? Maybe it is giving the room shape. Maybe it is making waking up less abrupt. Maybe it is allowing the body to stop scanning. Maybe it is holding the feeling that someone could still move through the house without the house becoming strange. Once you know the job, you can decide whether the ritual still earns its place. Sometimes the answer is yes. Keep the light. Let it do what it does. Some routines are worth preserving because they reduce friction without announcing themselves as self-improvement. They help the night arrive gently. They are small enough to ignore and useful enough to keep. Sometimes the answer is no. The light is only a habit now, or a fear you have outgrown, or a leftover from a season when you needed more reassurance than you do today. Then the real work is not to shame the habit. It is to replace the function. If the room needs a path, make one. If the body needs a softer transition, give it one. If the house needs to feel less total, address that directly. That is the honest version. The light is not really about electricity. It is about how much darkness a person can receive at the end of the day without feeling erased by it. And sometimes a small lamp left on in the hallway is not a failure to turn off the day. It is the last quiet way the day tells the rest of the house that it can rest now.